Epilogue. Mondays, Gwen works alone. She's been at the White Dragon Cafe for 6 months now, and they haven't had a busy Monday yet. It's nice to start the week so peacefully. She bakes a batch of scones and banana bread before opening the doors, then she sits down behind the counter with a cup of tea. She's thinking about the night ahead of her, how her girlfriend's coming home after a weekend away. Gwen wants to cook something special, something that says, "I missed you." Something that says, "I always miss you, and I hate when you go away, and maybe you should stay with me forever." Not for the first time recently, her throat strayed to the engagement ring she saw in Astley's shop window last month, and how good it would look on her girlfriend's finger, if she could ever get up the nerve to ask. She's so lost in her daydream that she's startled when the door opens and jumps to her feet guiltily. But it's only Merlin, giving her his customary cheery wave. Merlin was the first regular she knew by name. She remembered him because he's friendly and gentle and was very patient while she was still in training and mixing up drinks orders left, right and center. He comes in most days on his way to work and occasionally afterwards too, and he's usually flanked by the same blonde man he's with today. Gwen doesn't know the blonde man's name, but he's always polite and tends to leave a generous tip in the jar, which endears him to her no end. It's a safe assumption that he is Merlin's partner from the way they look at each other. He's almost puppyish in his attentiveness, his eyes following Merlin wherever he goes, and Merlin is sweetly solicitous in return. Gwen's been accused of being a hopeless romantic, but she can't help herself. She likes being in love, and she likes seeing it in other people. The two of them make her happy. "Hi, Gwen," Merlin chirps. "How's business?"
"Slow and steady, just the way I like it," she says,
leaning over the counter to peer at the rucksacks they have locked in with them.
"Going somewhere?"
"Peru," Merlin says, and his face is flushed with excitement. "Arthur surprised me with the tickets last week." Arthur, that's the blonde man's name. She looks over to see him giving her a shy smile.
"Arthur, you need to give my girlfriend some tips on romance. I can barely get her to take me to Skegness for the weekend,"
Gwen says mischievously, and Arthur laughs.
"I'm being selfish, really. I'm the one who always wanted to go. He's just getting dragged along."
"Like you could make me do anything I didn't want to," Merlin pipes up, and Arthur gives him a little shove.
"How long will you be there for?"
"A year, we think," Merlin says, beaming a little. "But we'll see how it goes." Gwen gives him a mock glare.
"So you've slunk in here to tell me I'm losing my best customers, have you?"
"Come with us if you like," Arthur says promptly. "I'm sure they need melt-in-the-mouth scones like yours over there."
"Ah, flattery now, is it?" Gwen says, laughing. "I suppose you're after free drinks."
"Perish the thought," Merlin says. "Having said that, if you'd let us loiter around here for the rest of the day, I'll bring you back a piñata from Peru."
"Oh, go on then," Gwen says. "But don't you have a flight to catch?"
"It's not until 9 tonight, but we thought we'd spend a day here because..." Suddenly Merlin falters, his face dropping slightly. Arthur reaches out to pat his arm, and a look passes between them.
"We're waiting on some news," Arthur says quietly. "And we were going stir-crazy in the flat, so..."
"Very sensible,"
Gwen says quickly, not wanting either of them to feel awkward.
"I've got a blackberry tart that could prove quite distracting."
They order 2 slices and 2 cups of coffee, too. Gwen smiles as she hears them bicker over the amount of sugar Merlin is tipping into his. She likes her tea sickly sweet, and her girlfriend despairs of her sometimes. Thinking of her girlfriend puts a smile on her face all over again, and she slips into the bag to make more scones. A song comes on the radio that she vaguely recognizes, and she starts to sing along as she works.
Oh, anyway, it's looking like a beautiful day.
Then the news comes on after, and she nearly turns it off, not wanting to be brought down by all the ills of the world. But the first item is that the Magical Protection Act has been passed. Almost a whole year since the microchipping bill went through. Suddenly, Gwen feels marvelously happy. Some days brought nothing but bad news, and then there were days like this, when humanity miraculously came together to get it right somehow. And tonight she would go home and kiss her girlfriend, and then maybe in a few months' time, once she'd gathered together all her courage, she would go down to that ring shop and... Alone in the kitchen, Gwen lets out a little laugh of delight. When she brings Arthur and Merlin their second round of coffee, she can't help but share the good news.
I just heard on the radio they passed a Magical Protection Act. Isn't it great?
The two men stare at her dumbfounded for a moment, and Gwen wavers slightly. What if she's read them all wrong and they're some awful bigots? But then Merlin begins to smile. It starts out slow and then spreads across his face until it's like he's lit up from within. Really? He asks, and his voice is nakedly hopeful. It passed?
Yeah, and it's just made a statement and everything, she says, sensing that Merlin wants as much reassurance as he can get.
Wow, he says weakly and sits back on his chair. Arthur nods at her, looking slightly fragile himself.
Thank you for... That was the news that we were waiting for. That was...
She wants to stay and hear more, find out why they're so invested, but then the door opens and another customer comes in. She goes to get more cups after serving him, and when she comes back, Arthur is hugging Merlin close, and Merlin appears to be crying. They're not looking at her, but Gwen feels intrusive for even witnessing such an intimate moment, and slips back into the kitchen. She leaves them to it for a while, and when she next peeks out, Merlin is laughing as Arthur ruffles his hair. It's funny, her job. She might never get to talk to people for very long, but she gets to know them all the same. Sees little windows into their lives that most people never witness. Sees snatches of the full picture. There's a whole world inside Merlin and Arthur, inside all the people who come in here, and Gwen feels a strange rush of well-being for them. On impulse, she heats a quiche in the oven and brings it over to their table. The three of them sit and have lunch together, and Gwen stays with them for most of the afternoon. Hardly any customers come in, and so they chat and laugh and sing along to the radio together. She doesn't ask why the Magical Protection Act is so important to them. She senses that some stories are too big for a single afternoon. She's just happy that they're happy. When it's time to close, they hug her tightly and promise to send postcards that she can stick up on the wall. She tells them not to stay away from London too long, and they swear they won't. Merlin says they have things to do here one day, and she believes him. They hoist their rucksacks up on their shoulders, and she holds the door open for them. They're nearly out when Arthur turns back.
About Roman's tips for your girlfriend, he says quietly. Tell her to make room for you in her life, and not to be afraid. And tell her to take care of you.
Behind him, Merlin groans, exaggeratedly, but Gwen can see his eyes are soft with affection.
You are so corny, he says fondly.
I love you too, Merlin,
Arthur says wryly.
Yeah, yeah, come on then, Casanova, Merlin says. Let's go start our next adventure.
They step onto the street and Gwen follows them out, Arthur's words ringing in her head. Tomorrow. Tomorrow she'll go to the ring shop. Life's too short not to follow your heart. She watches as Merlin and Arthur walk away, hand in hand, and she wishes them well with all her being. Then she waves and waves until they're out of sight.
Drinking in the morning sun. if she think I wink I did. Laugh politely at repeats. Yeah, kiss me when my lips are thin. 'Cause holy cow.